Well, good morning again, and happy Father's Day. What a day. We can celebrate being a father or a grandfather. We can celebrate having a father, and we can remember fathers who have gone on. And so today, I'm going to talk about our father. So what do you get when you're in church and you get the preacher? He's going to talk about Father's Day, about our true Father in heaven, and also about the love of the Father that results in the gospel. So that's a preview of what you're going to get today. Now, I think about my dad. I remember my dad. We had a great relationship. He passed away at the very end of 2020. He would have been 99 now. He was my childhood hero. He served. He was one of the greatest generation, served in 3 wars. As an adult, he was my friend and mentor, and we had memorable times together that I remember fondly. Outdoors, we were out fishing and hunting, competing in field sports, camping, or we were found in the garage fixing things, building things, welding things, cutting things. I have great memories of my dad and things that shaped my earthly life, but my dad is gone. But I'm not alone. Jesus said when he was telling the disciples that they would abandon him, he says, I'm not alone because the Father is with me. And so today's passage points to the Father and the provision given to us by the Father in Christ. So the Father in heaven, our heavenly Father, the true Father, our eternal Father, and the model for all of us who are fathers. A model of love for children. Let's start with prayer. Lord, thank you for our fathers that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, that you model true fatherhood. Lord, may we be fathers like you, caring about our children deeply in a sacrificial way. Lord, as we come before you this morning, as we ponder your word, would you be here with us? Would you illuminate the word that you inspired so long ago as we ponder it? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me start out by giving you just a mini testimony from me. My journey from confusion to faith. And I'll tell you why in a few minutes. As a boy, I pondered Jesus. I wasn't in church all the time, but I had heard the gospel. I understood vaguely the claims of Christianity. I didn't believe any of it. It all seemed like a fairy tale to me, and I was glad to tell anybody who would hear that I thought I didn't believe it. In high school, all of a sudden, those claims started to become important to me. I accepted them as true. I had no real spiritual understanding of those claims, but God was starting to do something in my heart. When I was in the Army in 1974, I was in Germany during the Cold War. I was feeling a huge need in my life. I didn't know until later that it was God who was interceding in my life. I was reading, praying. I was going to the Army chapel. I was pondering the Word. And I was going to pray in the evenings. And God somehow interceded, and I came to believe, to comprehend, to trust the Lord. And I came to know that God loves me in Father and Son and Holy Spirit. There was some kind of a dawning in my soul. Later, it wasn't until later, and I'm still trying to get it, to understand that it was God Himself that was teaching me the truth, that was opening my eyes, teaching me to trust all that I had heard and read from His gospel. What a journey these last 47 years. God had to work to open my eyes. I couldn't get it on my own. Now I have Jesus. Now I have a hope. Now I have a future. And now I have an eternal Father, our Father. He created me and He called me to Himself. So why am I telling you this? I promised I'd tell you. Now I'm going to tell you. because I think, but this is my worldview of having come from confusion to faith. And I think about that journey as I read about the disciples in the upper room. They were on a journey from confusion to faith. Jesus revealed the Father to them, and he reveals the Father to us now. So today, I've taken my message, the passage from John chapter 16, and it's part of what we call the upper room discourse. And that is that last evening that Jesus had with the disciples before he went to the cross. His public ministry had ended. There were no more public discourses from Jesus. Later that same evening, in the garden, Jesus was arrested, and the disciples in fear scattered. So this is Jesus' final teaching, his final instructions, his care for his disciples. And in it, we see his great love for the disciples. It reveals to us in chapters 13 through 17 that contain this upper room discourse, the very heart of Christ himself, the heart of God towards his people. Today's passage, this from John chapter 16, verses 25 through 28, is near the end of that upper room discourse. Just after he says these things to the disciples that we're going to consider today, Jesus goes and prays before they go to the garden and he's arrested. He prays for himself and what he's about to go through. He prays for the disciples and what they're about to go through. And he prays for those who had come to believe through their testimony. Jesus prays for you and I because we are those who have come to hear the gospel through the testimony of his disciples. Now, many generations later, future believers. In all of this, Jesus shows his love for the disciples, a love for those who would come to faith, a love for you and I. In word, in action, in prayer, we see in Jesus the heart of the Father, fully revealed. Now, at this point, the disciples had been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd been wandering around with him. They had heard his word. They had witnessed his miracles. They had seen Jesus live out his life in obedience to the Father. And as we read through these passages, sometimes it's hard for us to understand that they didn't understand. It's clear from the way they reacted to Jesus that they had a lack of understanding of his teaching and his actions. They did not understand, even though Jesus had explained and prepared for them for the cross, they didn't understand as Jesus went to the cross. And so they scatter in fear and they abandon Jesus as he comes to the cross. Now, as I read through John, there are two perspectives, kind of two views, two visions of John. There's confusion and there's faith. He talks about himself in the gospel as the disciple that Jesus loved. He was close to Jesus, but he describes himself along with the rest of the disciples clearly as not understanding what they had seen and still, yes, dedicated and faithful to Jesus and following him, but not fully understanding all that was about to happen. And yet, we also see in the Gospel of John the Apostle, some 60 years after the events that he records. At this point, Jesus has already gone to the cross. Everything that had been prophesied had been accomplished. All that the Father had given Jesus to do had been done. And a way of fellowship and relationship with God had been made possible by the cross. Jesus had changed John's understanding in a radical way after the cross. He now understands who Jesus is fully. He now understands the significance of Jesus' ministry. And from the very beginning of John's gospel, from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Let me read them for you. In the beginning, John says about Jesus, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing came to being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And then in verse 14 of the same chapter, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Here, John reveals fully the Lord Jesus. We depend on these words, so important that God has given us. He talks about Jesus as eternal, the expression of the Father in Word, the Creator, the life giver, God incarnate, who had come in glory and grace and truth. The cross, friends, had to come. Jesus had to be resurrected. The Father had to send the Holy Spirit, as He had promised. Then John could declare these truths, having been taught by God. So I tell you about my journey from confusion to faith, because in it I see the disciples' journey from confusion to faith, from seeing, understanding, not comprehended, but coming to believe and coming to faith by the work of God. I identify with John's journey. Turn with me in your Bibles to today's passage, John chapter 16, verses 25 through 28. If you're going to grab the Pew Bible, it's on page 903. I'll give you a moment to find it. You can find it on your phones or tablets or something. Let me read for us. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. So from this, I'll have 3 points. The first point is that the clarity of the gospel, the clarity about the Father and His love for us, comes to us from the teaching of God Himself. Clarity of the gospel comes to us from the teaching of God Himself. So Jesus taught in parables as we study His life. He taught sometimes in metaphors, sometimes in things that were difficult to understand by the disciples and those who were around Him. Just before He said these words that I read, He said to them in John 16, 16, He said, a little while and you will no longer behold me, and again a little while you will see me. Let's confuse the disciples. They said, say what? They looked around. They didn't understand. It makes sense to us. We understand that Jesus was talking about His coming death and resurrection, that Jesus would be, they would no longer see Him. He would be gone. He would be dead. And they would behold Him again. He would reappear. He would be resurrected. And it's the same with the other sayings. From our view now, having been given the Bible, having been given the Holy Spirit, they make sense to us. Jesus was aware that they were confused. And so He now promises clarity to them. The Holy Spirit had not yet come to the disciples to speak, to teach, to remind them, to help them understand the promises that Jesus had made. It would all become clear. Jesus would tell them plainly about the Father. So Jesus here, the very Word of God acknowledged by John, will speak clearly and they will understand about the Father. Through this indwelling of God in them, through the coming of the Holy Spirit, which you and I enjoy as believers. Jesus spent time with the disciples after the resurrection, but before the ascension. We don't know exactly what all happened or what was said. We know the story about the disciples that Jesus spoke with on the way to Emmaus. And some have said, well, I'd really like to have a recording of all that to see how Jesus explained himself in the Old Testament. And we do have that. Jesus promised clarity about the Father. He had promised earlier how this would come. John tells us this in Jesus' words. He says, from chapter 14, verses 25 through 29, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. You heard that I said to you, I go away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass, you may believe." And friends, it has come to pass. The Holy Spirit has come to God's people. The apostles have been reminded of Jesus' words. The apostles have been taught all things, the gospel truth, by the Holy Spirit. And they wrote it out. They wrote the gospels, including the one that I'm reading from today. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. We have the epistles that were written to the churches and to people. We have Revelation, the gospel fully revealed in the Bible. We have the whole Bible, the Word of God, God's truth. We have the presence of the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit. Now, Luke records the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to the early church, and Peter explains what's going on. In Acts chapter 2, we read about this, verses 14 through 18. He says, "But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even upon my bond slaves, both men and women. I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." The ministry of the Holy Spirit, friends, continues to teach and lead, to illuminate the inspired word. When we come to the Bible, when we come to God's word, it's important that we seek God's illumination of that which he inspired so long ago. What a gift we have, friends. What a teacher we have, God himself through his Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit's revelation of the Father, the gospel simply cannot be comprehended. Like my experience, I heard the words, seemed like a fairy tale to me. But with Jesus, with the Spirit illuminating my heart, I came to understand. Paul explained all this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. He says, "But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things. Yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We are blessed, friends, to be found in Jesus, to be taught by God himself. Praise him. Praise him with our lips, with our time, with our obedience. The Father is taught to us by Jesus himself through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Brings me to the second point. through the Father's love for us and in the name of Jesus, we have direct access to the Father. In the name of Jesus and in the name and in the Father's love for us, we have direct access to the Father. In verses 26 through 27, Jesus teaches that not only has he come to believers and brought a plan, an unveiled understanding of the Father, he has unveiled this understanding of the Father. He's made a way for us to have direct access to the Father in prayer. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." Brothers and sisters in Christ, that day has come. We now have access to the Father directly. Pastor Haig, he concluded the prayer this morning, in Jesus' name. We are taught to pray in Jesus' name because of Jesus' sacrifice for us, because of who he is, and we are found in him. We are redeemed by Jesus in relationship with the Father. We are loved by the Father. The Father's love sent Jesus to us. John 3:16, that we're so familiar with. For God so loved the world. God, the Father, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is a familiar passage. God loves the lost in the world. He gave his Son. By faith, he gives us eternal life. This was the Father's purpose from the very beginning. The Father loves. The Father sent the Son. The Father's love is fully revealed in the Son. Sometimes this might be confusing. We might not grasp all that we're talking about in the Bible. Does sometimes Jesus seem closer to us and the Father distant and somehow far away? Maybe we're sure of the love of Christ, but we're not so sure about the Father's love, thinking that it is somehow conditional. If that's the case, we've misunderstood the Father's love. It's God that has brought us to trust Jesus. It is God who, by the work of his Holy Spirit, has brought us to trust Jesus. Jesus is the gift that is given to us of infinite value. And it came at the cost of the Son of God. The love of our God in the Father and in the Son and the Holy Spirit cannot be separated. One God and love for us. Jesus revealed the Father fully in his words, in his works that were ordained, in his love. Jesus tells us that these were those which were given to him by the Father. We belong to Jesus because the Father knew us and gave us to Jesus. We are brought close to the Father. He is not far off from us. We have been given to Jesus by the Father. John 10, verses 27 through 30. I like the Gospel of John, if you haven't figured it out yet. Jesus said this. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." And Jesus' mission has been accomplished. As I meditate on this passage, I'm amazed. I'm taken back by it every time I come through it. The Father, the Almighty, the Creator, the one true God, he made a way for me and you to be in relationship with him. I am unworthy, and yet I'm loved. He loves us as we believe in Jesus, the Son of God. How is this possible? It is possible because of Jesus' perfect righteousness and his sacrifice on the cross. That righteousness given to us as we come to believe and have faith. Paul teaches in Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 22. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. Righteousness given to us by faith, not our own, but by the work of His Son and given to us, the very plan of God. Brings me to the third point. Jesus' work to restore us to the Father has been completed. By faith, we are made children of God. And so Jesus concludes this part of his address in the upper room. He says this in verse 28, I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. And so in this one sentence, Jesus summarizes his entire mission and its completion. Jesus had come from the Father to earth. He had eternally pre-existed. Again, from John 3:16, and I'll add 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. Jesus entered the world in the incarnation, and he displayed his glory and truth. John 1, again, verses 10 through 11. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And John 1, 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John now sees all clearly and has given it to us by the inspiration of God. And Jesus was going to the cross and back to the Father from whom he had been sent to us. John 14, 19 through 20. After a little while, the world will behold me no more, but you will behold me because I live, you shall live also. In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And here he describes the unity between the Father and the Son and includes us in it as his children. This is amazing. The gospel, the work of God, the gift given to us, brings us into an eternal relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, with God himself. So when Jesus had finished verse 28, the disciples thought they finally believed. Okay, we got it now. But Jesus tells them that they would scatter, that they were going to leave him, but he was preparing them so that when all this had been accomplished, then they'll have peace and courage, and they will remember what happened, and it'll make sense to them. John 16, 33, he says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace, and in the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Friends, we have a Father who loves us, an eternal Father, the very model of fatherhood. Jesus came because of the Father's love for us. We've been given the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus through faith. God speaks to us by his word that he has given. It is illuminated by the Holy Spirit. The Father hears us, friends, when we pray in Jesus' name. He has made himself accessible to us. He has brought us into relationship with us. Jesus taught us, remember the Lord's Prayer? How does it start out? Our Father. He talks about our Father. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus constantly spoke the words, your Father, speaking about God. our Father. He has made himself our Father. This kind of language is just not found in the Old Testament, except in this one place. It's time for us to ponder, friends, on Father's Day and ponder this simple but profound truth that the Father loves us. And it brings me to want to praise God. Psalm 68, verses 3 through 5 say this: "But let the righteous be glad. Let them exult before God. Let them rejoice with gladness. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Lift up a song for him who rides through the deserts, whose name is the Lord, and exult before him, a father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows. In God is God in his holy habitation." Now, friends, maybe you've never come to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and so entered into the love of the Father. Perhaps what seemed like nonsense to you before, when you first heard the gospel, now seems like maybe it's true. Maybe God is moving you to come to Jesus, to believe the promises of Jesus. If that's the case, friends, let me encourage you today to seek the love, the truth, and the freedom that's found in Jesus Christ. Come talk to one of us elders, one of the deacons, your friend who you know is a believer in Christ, and let this be the day that you come into the kingdom of God and have an eternal Father who loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us provision, that you have made a way for us to come back to you and away from the lost condition that we've been in. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us Jesus, who died on the cross that we might be found holy before you because of his righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us a future. Lord, may you move our hearts to praise you and understand fully the clarity with which you now tell us about yourself. May you move hearts to come close to you, that we might together worship you and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.